I am on a mission to strengthen, empower, and inspire caregivers to keep going, keep pushing, keep loving, and by all means, to keep caring. Thank you for tuning in to season 4 of the My Favorite Girl Caregivers Corner podcast. Our theme for this season is celebrating caregivers. I am your host, Priscilla Jean-Louis. Hey, go ahead and hit that subscribe button so you can get a notification when the next episode drops. Hey, caregiver family, we are back with episode 2 of season 4 of the My Favorite Girl Caregivers Corner podcast. It is November, and November is National Family Caregiver Appreciation Month. If you listen to episode 1, then you know this season is all about celebrating caregivers. So we're going to be bringing on some caregivers. They're going to be sharing their stories, and we're going to be celebrating the heroes who are out there caring for their loved ones. So that's what season 4 is all about. And as always, I like to take a moment to thank those of you who have subscribed to the podcast and those who are following my journey on my social media platforms. Before I go any further, I ask that if you haven't already, if you would take a moment and subscribe to the podcast on whichever platform you are listening from. We are on Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and of course, you can go to my website at www.priscillajjeanlouis.com, and you can also find the podcast on there. Then once you subscribe, I ask if you would send it to your family, to your friends, especially those who are caregivers, and allow them to also listen to the podcast. You can also follow me on my social media platforms. You can find me on Facebook and YouTube at My Favorite Girl and Alzheimer's. And then on Instagram and TikTok at My Favorite Girl and Oz. I do my best to make it over to Instagram and TikTok, but surely if you get on Facebook, you'll find something almost every day. But I'm on all of those platforms. And so get over there, follow, share, like, love, all of it. And it's just simply me sharing my caregiver journey with my favorite girl. If you go on there, especially on Facebook, Instagram, you'll be able to see my favorite girl and just some of the interactions that we have. We do our best to just simply love on each other. As I always say, I actually have a t-shirt that says the same. I also have an inspirational caregiver tea line, and one of my shirts is love is greater than dementia. And so, you know, that's what we do. When they don't remember anything else, they remember love. Anybody that you're caring for, you know, love is the key. And so go over there, subscribe, like, share the podcast. All right. The mission of this podcast is to bring inspiration, education, resources, hope, and strength to caregivers so you can keep going, keep pushing, keep loving, and keep caring. And so today, I have a very special guest on with me again today. And if you saw the topic of the podcast title for this week is Rolling with the Punches. And I have Cheryl Ann Haley, who's on here to share her caregiver with her journey, share her care journey, I'm sorry, with her mom, Sandy. And so, Cheryl Ann, welcome to the My Favorite Girl Caregivers Corner podcast.
Thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here.
All right. And so we're going to jump right in into this conversation. I'm going to tell you exactly where I get this topic from. As I was sitting here thinking about what I could title this, because, you know, you and I met basically on social media. We met on Facebook. Now, you are a part of the Dementia with Grace social media platform as well, right? So yeah. I'm not sure if it was there or if it was through My Favorite Girl in Oz, but at any rate, we met and connected on social media and have just been back and forth with each other since then. And what I found is that even online, you can find a great group of supporters out there for you. And I always also promote the Dementia with Grace platform. I am one who, I don't believe in, you know, reinventing wheels. If there's a wheel that's rolling and it's rolling well, hey, jump on that one, right? And so I've been able to even, you know, with Dementia with Grace, I've been on there, been able to get some great help from that platform. There's over 6,000, I think probably almost 7,000 followers on there, 7,000 people in that group. It is a private group where, you know, you just go on. It's a safe space. It's a really safe space where people are able to just share their frustrations, ask questions, all of that. And, you know, it's a wonderful place to be. So we met there. And from that point, just kind of like and share each other's stuff. And it's just been amazing to me. It's been amazing to me.
And so then we found out we're both Alzheimer's advocates.
Yep, we are. And so give us a little bit of your background. Give us a little bit of your journey before I actually read where this came from. Tell us about how you got into this.
Well, I believe that my mom started having, or I could see things in 2016. I don't know if there were issues going on before that she was really good at hiding, but it started to become very evident in 2016. But I didn't know what the issues were. At one point in time, I think it was either Christmas 2016 or Christmas 2017, I sat across from a table with her and shared with her that we had been through so much together. She was a single mom and like the two of us were always together and she could share anything with me. And then I asked her if she was having an affair and cheating on my stepfather because she had these missing moments of time and I didn't know what they were. Like she was very healthy. She was like, she did everything they suggest that you can do, but it took me a while to figure out what the issue was.
Now, let me ask this question. How is your mom? Was it an early onset or?
She was 73 at that time.
Okay. All right. Yeah. And what you find is there's one book in particular that I read that I think is a great book. Don't necessarily care about the ending of a thing, but there's a book that's called Before I Forget. It was written by Dan Gasby and I forget her last name. I'm going to find it right quick. But they wrote this book that's called Before I Forget. It is on my website and it's called, it's by B. Smith. That's who it is. B. Smith and Dan Gasby. B. Smith, she did have an early onset of dementia. And so in the book, they talk about how they had been married for about 24 years, 20 something years. And out of nowhere, you know, she starts forgetting things. She starts getting very irritable. He had had a surgery and, you know, just different things that had started happening with her. And he just kind of got to a point where he kind of felt like maybe, you know, the flame wasn't there anymore. Didn't know really what was going on because those changes started happening. And then it wasn't until a few months later, because she was a model, a cook, you know, a chef rather. And she was actually on Good Morning America doing a cooking show. And in the middle of the cooking show, drew a blank. Could not remember what was going on. And she was only 60 years old at the time. And when they took her, you know, to the neurologist, took her to the doctor to figure out what was going on, that's when they realized it was an early onset of dementia. And so, you know, it was a relief for him and for her that, you know, it wasn't something that was necessarily going on in the relationship. But then, of course, you know, that diagnosis was also very tough as well. And so, you know, it will seem like that. And I'm sure, I don't know what your mom's response was, but, you know, it's like, nah, she's not fooling around. But these are the type of things that we have to pay attention to. because mm-hmm. these are some of the signs that if we don't pay attention to them, we will miss them.
Yeah, she just had moments where, and it was because when I got there for Christmas Eve dinner, she wasn't there. And she didn't have dinner ready. And then when she came home and I asked her where she had been, she didn't know. And as a daughter, like, you pack up your stuff, you pack up your dog, you go home for Christmas Eve with your mom and your stepdad, and you're all ready and mom's not there.
And did your stepdad have any concern or question? Had he noticed things that were going on with her?
My mom was very independent anyway, so her not being home wouldn't have been an issue. She maybe had stopped by a friend's house or something. But to me, my mom missing Christmas Eve with me was huge.
Yeah. And I can only imagine, you know, what that was like. And so, you know, that's the kind of stuff that happens when you, you know, with dementia, Alzheimer's. It's one of those things where it can catch you way off guard, off guard. And so, you know, I want to go back to a couple posts. I pulled a couple posts from your Facebook page that I think are, you know, to me, they were powerful, but they also helped to explain and to share your journey. And this one in particular is where I decided after I read it, I was like, okay, here we go. We're going to go with roll with the punches. And so in July 16th of this year, you wrote on your Facebook post, you said, "Some days in this journey are harder than others. It is no secret to my mom that her brain is changing. And sometimes those changes just stink. Sometimes we talk about what she is afraid she will miss or how we cannot do the things we used to. Over the years, this dynamic duo, however, learned to roll with the punches. Today, we may have spent more time together crying than laughing. One of the poor aides poked her head in, probably expecting to see us laughing or singing, and caught us snuggled together with tissues soaked up the tears. There are many ways to deal with this dementia journey. Today, as sad as it was, although we did manage to laugh some, I am glad we had this raw, authentic moment to feel the sadness together." And when I read that, it resonated with me.
But girl, you're not supposed to make me cry.
I'm so sorry. I am so sorry, you know. But those are the types of feelings and emotions that go on when you are caring for someone with dementia. You know, there was a quote that said Alzheimer's is, you know, that roller coaster. It's the largest emotional roller coaster there is. And it does. It affects you emotionally. But what you have done and what I've tried to do is exactly what you said. You roll with the punches. You get hit and you learn how to bob and weave. You learn how to get back up. And so even in that moment, you know, kind of share with the audience what was going on.
I remember that day I went to visit my mom. And so when I go to visit my mom, I'm always wondering like what the situation will be. And I always have an option of two things, you know, like something that's going to be fun and interactive. And then, you know, if not, what are we going to watch on TV or just chill out? And that day, my mom had an extreme awareness that her brain was not working. She doesn't always have an extreme awareness. And if she does, she doesn't usually talk about it. But it seems, even now, 7 years later, she seems to be more aware of it, surprisingly. And she just really was having problems with life that day and her brain not working and her not remembering certain things. And so I had two options, really. I could try to redirect her and be like, "Oh, mom, don't worry about it," you know? And then I was like, no, like, she deserves this moment. I deserve this moment. Here we go. I'm going to cry again.
And I'm so sorry.
If my mom was in the hospital with some other illness, if my mom was in the hospital with cancer and we were going to chemotherapy, we would talk about that journey. and what she wanted her future to look like and how she wanted things to go. I didn't necessarily have that option with my mom, but when she gives me that option and she seems lucid enough to have a discussion about it, I believe that the respectful and right thing to do is to have a discussion. Now, some people might not agree with that, but as her daughter, I can judge those moments. You know, Right. She wasn't like, hysterical in a false sense. She was like an authentic, like, this is an issue with me and what's going to happen. And so it was a real, it was probably one of our more touching moments in this journey.
Yeah.
Which is probably why.
And it's okay to talk about it. I think that's, that's what people have to realize, right? That, and I'm learning this even the more over these last 3 months, right? Mm-hmm. As you know, my best friend passed away on August 1st. And that incident, I will honestly say, probably has changed my life forever. But what I realize even the more is that people have to really learn how to be okay with their emotions, be okay allowing themselves to deal with that space, deal with your emotions. Reality is there are moments when, even on this journey of caring, we're not okay. And right. it's always so easy for us, you know, when people ask, you know, it's just a common thing that we do just as a society. When you're passing people, hey, how are you doing? How Great. Many people, when you think about it in the course of a day, when you're passing people, how many people do you pass by in the course of a day that you may know that you say, hey, how are you? And they just say, oh, I'm fine. And everybody keeps going. Nobody really stops to really take that moment. What if you said, nah, I'm not okay, you know, in one of those moments. And so I think allowing her to talk about it, I think it's perfectly okay because it's something that happened. It's something that is happening that you don't really and truly, you don't fully understand. You recognize that something is going on, but you have no idea what it's like. And so when she's in those moments where she can express that, I see nothing wrong with that.
Right.
Nothing at all. And so, you know, hats off to you for recognizing and not, because a lot of times that's what we try to do, especially when we're caring for loved ones with Alzheimer's and dementia, one of the other dementias, you know, they can be in their space and it's so, you're so quick to tell them otherwise. You know, I often say you got to go where they are. If the sky is purple to them, then it's purple today. Okay, yeah, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful purple sky. And you have to go into their world because no matter how hard you try, reality is they're not going to come back in your world in that moment in time. Now, they may go in and out, but in that particular moment where the sky is purple, I don't care how much you try to say, no, it's blue. For them, it's purple.
Yep. And it might look really pretty as purple.
Exactly. And so that's one of the things that, you know, if you're out there and you're caring, you got to, as the subject said, you got to roll with the punches. You got to go right there, you know, and make it happen. And so, you know, God knows, I do not want to make you emotional on here, but that's, you know, this is the real life of it. This is what this journey looks like. I know at one point, you and I on social media and via text, we were talking about the fact that in the beginning, it was kind of hard for you to find a facility that was, you know, meeting the needs that she had. Talk about that a little bit for me, the type of challenge that you had for a while in placing her. Now, before I go there, let me ask this question. Was she at some point living with you or she was at her own place?
She was never living with me. Okay. And so I question, but you know, I know that God is in charge and has control of all our timing. I had moved an hour and a half to 2 hours away from her. 3 hours if traffic is bad. Just 3 years before. So she never lived with me, but I was on the phone with her every day. And as I started to see the changes, I had told her husband, like, start looking at facilities, try to find some place. So we'll be prepared. Because by then I had already moved forward, got to speak to her doctor and started on Dementia with Grace and reading. And so I had started looking at facilities up here. And so there came a moment during what should have been a silver alert, but was not because of the way things were handled by the deputy, but she was missing for 5.5 hours. And at that point in time, I was like, I have to place her. And thankfully, I had already looked at 3 places near me, so I knew where I was going.
Okay.
So I always think that people may not want to place their loved one, but it's always good to kind of be one step ahead of this.
Yeah. And do your research. Mm-hmm. Do your research. I won't get into, you know, the why I say that, but do your research. I mean, as far as my profession, I won't. But it's always important. There are, if you are looking to place your loved one in a facility, you can always go to the Agency for Healthcare Administration. Go to ACA, go to their website. You can type in the facility. And if there are any, if they've had any type of deficiencies, if they've had any type of fines, any of that, you can find that information. It's public record. And you'll be able to, you know, make your decision from there. Talk to other people. I also tell people, do Google searches. Mm-hmm. Go in, type the facility into Google, see what other people are saying. I do that just on a regular. Before I buy something from Amazon, I'm going to look at all the reviews. I want to know what people are saying about whatever it is I'm about to purchase. And if I find 3 or 4 different reviews, I don't care if there's 100 others that are great. If I find 3 or 4 and they're very similar in what they're saying, I'm not purchasing. I go on to the next thing. And so I give that same advice to people that are looking for facilities. Google. Google is one of your best friends. Look at those reviews. Now, of course, some of them you can be skeptical about because sometimes people just have, you know, a thing out. Sometimes it could be employees that are disgruntled that will post. But, you know, for the most part, you'll be able to see what people are saying. And so, you know, that step ahead is very, very important. And so you get her in the first facility. And if I remember correctly, that didn't really fit as well.
Initially, it fit well because it was very, very pretty on the outside and inside. Looked like a resort. So for someone who's moving out of their home and who loves to travel, resort-like is key, you know? So this was like, Mom, you're just going to stay here for right now, just for now until, like, you know, we kind of figure out what's going on. And that was resort-like, but maybe too large for her.
Okay.
As dementia progressed and safety concerns happened, it was just not the right facility for her.
Okay. All right. And so you end up moving her from there. And from that point, the facility that she's in now, is that the one that you end up moving her to?
I moved her to another one for a year. And that had some challenges. Okay. There's questions to ask that I wasn't aware of. You see these young ladies walking through, and a lot of this stuff I learned with advocacy through the Alzheimer's Association, not just from the Alzheimer's Association, but in getting to, like, notice what, like, wow, maybe I should look for that. Like, just because somebody's wearing scrubs does not mean they're necessarily a medical profession. Right. They may just be an aide or a helper. Staffing is another huge thing. We ended up moving my mom into a facility now that's been open for about 6 years.
Okay.
And I think there's three or four aides there that have been there since they opened.
Okay. And that's always good. You want to make sure that there's no high turnover, because if there is high turnover, then there's an issue going on somewhere.
Yeah. The middle facility had 6 executive directors within the 1 year that we were there.
Yeah. And that's not good.
But also, it was a larger facility, so there was a lot of empty beds. In empty beds, the thing to consider was there was always a new resident coming in. And so there was no continuity in the building. So at my mom's building now, it's only 20 beds. And for a few months, it was solid with the same people that were there. Then some people passed away. So then a new resident comes in. Well, that new resident has to adjust to the living situation. And it kind of throws everything off balance until they get acclimated in a few weeks.
Okay.
Sometimes.
And And these are all good points. And you can find, there is a list of questions. You can find them on the Alzheimer's Association website at www.alz.org. Or if you just do a Google search for questions to ask when considering facilities, or, you know, usually you can put in any type of question in Google, but it'll bring it up. And so what I'm going to do as well is I am going to actually pull some of them and I'll place them on the resource spot on my website. So if you're looking for a facility and in looking to place your loved one, you'll know these are some key questions that you should be asking when you are considering placing your loved one in a facility. Now, the other thing, Sherilyn, I want to talk about that I realized today when I was looking through your social media page, I did not realize that you actually quit your job a year ago. You quit your job? Man, that's the type of stuff that we talk about, you know, a lot, where people don't always know and understand what goes on with caregivers when you're on this journey. And so you're working, you're doing your life, you are, I'm assuming, enjoying your life.
Yes.
And, you know, then mom gets his diagnosis and you got to make a decision. And so how did you get to the point of just deciding, you know, hey, my mom's care is more important? So what?
Well, she had 3 hospital stays within 4 months. And so, I think on hospital stay number 2, I was not able to get extra coverage. Like, I knew that I needed extra coverage because you can't just go to work and leave your mom with dementia in the hospital, because when the doctors come in to talk, she's not going to be able to answer the questions 100%, and nobody's going to remember. And I didn't want to just go into the hospital and then come back out and then go into the hospital. Like, that had become like a routine almost. And so I would go in and to work early, then have coverage midday, and I'd get to the hospital and the doctor was already gone, and then like go back to the hospital to see my mom at night and try to figure out what was going on from the other people and from my stepdad. And, you know, he's older, so he wasn't necessarily getting all the information. And it just became too much. Just constantly living with the fear that I would be in that situation again was overwhelming in itself.
Right. Sure.
And then her facility said, well, maybe your mom could benefit from having some independent caregivers come in and spend time with her and sit with her and talk with her, because honestly, the staffing that we have does not provide one-on-one care. Wow. Which I will note was not what was presented in the sale office or in the brochure.
Of course.
So, but realistically, it's just not possible. So I started interviewing independent caregivers, and like some of them were like $42 an hour. And so as I was asking them questions, they weren't giving me answers that were great. And I thought, why am I going to pay this person $42 an hour, $32 an hour, $20 an hour for somebody on the side that's not necessarily licensed, why would I be doing that when I could spend the time with myself? And think back to that time period, 3 hospital visits in 4 months. I mean, I've said goodbye to my mom 5 times.
Yeah.
You know? And so I didn't think she was going to make it much longer. And so I left my job to spend the time with my mom, to go down and try to clean out some of her house, because she still has a house where she lives with my stepfather. And so that was a little tricky because he didn't want me in his house throwing all their stuff away. But she was a realtor and she had paperwork from like 2008 in there. So,
oh, wow.
So I started doing that. Yeah. So there was a lot to do. And so instead of paying other people to do that stuff, I just left my job so I could get it done. I also realized when I posted that I quit my job a year ago, I haven't bought any new clothes in a year.
Oh, wow.
It can be done.
And that's the thing, you know, I'm like, these are the type of sacrifices that are being made. And, you know, tell me if I'm wrong, but you're not getting paid to be her caregiver, right?
No.
Exactly.
And so, but I know that I have it better than so many other stories that I've heard recently.
Oh, absolutely. But the point I'm making is when we talk about caregivers, family caregivers, these are unpaid caregivers. These are, you know, we talked about that on the first episode. So you'll have to make sure you go and subscribe and listen to that podcast. But there are so many unpaid caregivers, family members. You're not getting paid to do it. It's just the sacrifice, and you talk about sacrificing, you talk about selflessness. This is the type of selflessness that happens with caregivers. I can't tell you how many I see in and out of these facilities who have absolutely no family. There's no family. There's nobody checking in on them. There's nobody making sure that they're okay. And so, you know, when I find somebody who is, you know, I'm always grateful. I'm always appreciative. Not that I have to tell you that because this is your mom, right? But it does warm my heart to see others who have that same level. I am certain beyond any doubt that if it came to it, you know, I probably would make that same decision. Because what you want more than anything else is to make sure that your loved one is cared for. You want to make sure that they are receiving the best quality of care that they can receive. And so, you know, thankfully you were in a position, you're in a position to do what you do, but it all comes back to the title, Rolling with the Punches. Rolling with the Punches.
Now, I will say, mm-hmm. I will say that thankfully my mom had invested well. So I do use a little bit of her money when I need it for my expenses. But again, there's so many people that aren't in that. Mm-hmm. And somebody asked me the other day, somebody said, well, you know, because you're her trustee, you can pay yourself like $50,000 a year. But if I pay myself $50,000 a year, that's taking away money to pay for her care. And this care is not cheap.
At all. Hear me when I say it. It is not cheap at all. And the thing about it is you're not in it for the money. Mm-hmm. You're not in it for the money. This is your mom. And as you stated, I'm like, you know, I can hear and feel that you all have been close your entire lives. You're an only girl.
Yep.
only girl out of two children. You have the greater responsibility. And so it's really not about that. It's about, I want to make sure that my mom is taken care of. There's another post that you made that I just think that this should be a quote somewhere. July 20th, you wrote on here, over the years, I've made lots of memories with my mom. Now I am her memory. Man, that's powerful. That is absolutely powerful. Don't want you to start crying again, but in that moment, you know, what was that all about when you sit down? I know I sit down sometimes, and sometimes, you know, just in dealing, you know, you write what's, as Facebook says, it was what's on your mind right now. So that moment there.
So I have some photo boxes that I bought for her, and I printed out a bunch of pictures. And one of the things that somebody from the Dementia with Grace support group had suggested was I start going through my mom's stuff now and her photo album. So I took some pictures of us from when I was younger and then some of our adventures now. And I made copies of them because my mom and her dementia state right now, sometimes she'll rip things. Ripping things makes her happy because she'll be like, look at this great picture. We look so nice. Yes. And then she'll rip it and be like, here you go. And I'm like, thanks. So I made copies of the pictures. And so I have a memory box for her. So sometimes if we just have a chill little day and she is in a mood to process the memories that are going to make her happy, I will sit down with her and go through pictures. And I think on that day, we had the picture box out in her memory care dining room table. And we were going through the pictures and I was writing on the back what they were.
Okay.
And then so I would show her the picture and I would write on the back what it was. And then she would, and I'd write it nice and big and she would turn it over and read it because she likes being able to read still. And then I would share a story about the day. And she'd be like, I don't remember, but that sounds fun. Yes, mom, it was.
I love it. And I love the fact that, you know, she sounds like she's in a, you know, earlier stage where she can at least still recognize you. She can still have those conversations. No, she doesn't recognize you.
No. So that's the magic or the gift from God. Because I think from my Facebook page, oftentimes people, especially on my personal Facebook page, people think that my mom is early stages and very able to go with the flow. But I don't know if you saw some of our pictures the other day from her neurology visit. But so she went to the neurologist and it's down by the water. So I take her out to lunch by the water. But that morning, I thought we weren't getting to the neurologist because she didn't want to go out, get out of bed. She was talking about herself in third person. I was sharing with her who I was. It took like an hour and I was like, we're going to have to cancel this appointment. And so finally she got up and we went. And so she walked out towards my car and said, there's my daddy's car. I'm going for a ride with my daddy. And I was like, oh boy, like how's this day going to go? But as we got on the road and spent some time together and she had her neurologist visit, she kind of clicked right back in.
And that's good. That because I will say, as one who does it, those can be hard moments. Mm-hmm. You know, when they don't, like my mom thinks that I'm her mom.
She calls my mom a lot.
Yeah, she calls my name now all day long. If I'm in here working, I don't care when I walk out, it's like her face brightens up and she's like, yes, you know, like there's my person. And she wants to follow me all around the house and, you know, what have you. But, you know, there are those moments. I don't know what your doctor's visits are like just outside of neurology, but a regular doctor's visit. I've actually gotten to a point now where when I do take her, I call them and say, listen, I am coming. We're going to sit in the car. I will go check in and we're going to sit in the car until you all are ready for her. Because unfortunately, these general practitioners, they don't have much knowledge of what this looks like. And you learn that even the more they don't have much knowledge, their staff really don't know. And so for them to put you in a room where you sit there for 20, 30 minutes waiting, that just doesn't work. It doesn't. And just like, you know, with your mom, I know for me, I don't even take morning appointments because I have to. She's not going to get up until she feels like getting up, and you're not going to make her get up until she feels like getting up. And so I always say, no, it has to be in the afternoon because by the afternoon, she's been up. I can get her cleaned up and we can get there. And that gives me enough time that if there is a fight in the middle, you have time to work your way through all of that, right? And so those moments, though, where, you know, sometimes, I don't know if you feel this way, but sometimes there are those moments where you just like, man, I just really wish she could remember me. I really wish she could remember that I am her daughter. We were sitting on the couch last Sunday, I believe it was. And we had been sitting there for a moment. And out of nowhere, she turns and she looks at me and she said, hey. She said, now who are you? You know, it's those moments where, you know, I think I've grown to a place now where they're not as gut-wrenching. But, you know, in the beginning, you know, those are those gut punches where you're just like, wow. Like, I can literally still remember where I was the first time she told me I wasn't her daughter. I remember it. I mean, where I was going in the car, we were actually driving, leaving her house. And man, you're talking about a gut punch, you know, but these are the type of things here, right, that we deal with. But we roll with the punches and we do what we can to still make sure that they're always going to be good. Now, I know that one of the things that you have also done, which I love and I just absolutely love to see it, when you're in this situation, you have a choice to make. You have a choice to make in what you are going to do with it. For me, a few years ago, you know, in the beginning, we're 8 years now. And so a few months after I moved in with her, which was around the 7-year mark, I just really felt God telling me to make ministry out of the moments. And from that point, I started my social media platform and just started sharing those, what I coined to be mama moments. And it was also an outlet for me, but it was me just sharing those funny things that she would say. And from that time until this one, I have been blessed with some amazing opportunities to be able to share my journey, to be able to strengthen and encourage other caregivers. And I believe that that is exactly what it's all about. I believe I talk about a lot, the grace that God gives us to be wherever he allows us to be at that moment. And so being able to watch you from afar and to see that, as you stated in the beginning, we're both advocates. We've become advocates, not just for our mothers, but we're advocating for ourselves. We're advocating mm-hmm. for our children. We're advocating for the hundreds of thousands of others who are also impacted by this disease. And so Sandy's Daughter is your platform that you have. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, you started that platform earlier this year.
I think last year I got to the point where, I mean, I have my personal Facebook page where I had Sunday with Sandy photo album, and every Sunday we would go do something and people would comment and like it. And it was kind of like, I wanted to share that part of my life. But then as I started advocating for Alzheimer's and learning more, I wanted to share that, but I also didn't want to lose my personal identity.
Right.
And have people stop following me on Facebook because I don't want to hear about dementia and Alzheimer's all the time. And I wanted to be able to share more openly. So I started my Sandy's Daughter Facebook page that's specifically dedicated to Alzheimer's and dementia. And for the most part, I don't necessarily show my mom's picture on there very often.
Yeah. And the platform is growing. You have taken advocacy by the reins and you are down in Tampa, right?
Yes. Yes.
So you're in the Tampa area and you are, you know, you've gone through the trainings with Tipa Snow, who is an outstanding trainer for dementia and dementia caregivers. and you've done some other wonderful trainings and works, been working alongside. I see it on your page. And so with that, you have now more recently, you're on another endeavor. So share with us about the support group.
So I was in a support group, and then I tried to find some support groups that were relatively near with me. And we couldn't do one at my mom's facility now because, you know, it's a smaller facility. So I started one at the local library, which is free. And so I had a couple other people that I knew from church that came, and then I just started posting it. And so every month I walk in there and it's kind of, I have no idea who's coming in. And I was with one of my friends from church, and she said, I don't know how you do it because everybody's story and everybody's journey is different.
It's different.
You know? And so I've started, I'm going to do that one twice a month, like one more support group and the second one more educational skills resources. And then for the holidays, I was putting together a PowerPoint presentation for dementia in the holidays. And I thought, well, if I'm putting away this PowerPoint, I might as well like maximize it. So I am taking it to the New Tampa Library, then down to Riverview. And I'm also in a memory care facility with their resident families. Mm-hmm. And anybody's welcome to that. And I have to say that when I did my first meeting with them last month, the resident families have been in this journey for years, just like us, but had not really ever heard a lot of the resources that I shared, one being Tipa Snow. And so even when I talk about Tipa Snow, so many people in the senior care business don't necessarily know who she is.
Oh, wow. And she's excellent. You know? She is.
Yeah. Excellent. She'll be here this week. Coming
oh, really?
Yeah, in Sun Wait, City
I'm going to have to get you to throw a plug in there. I need to get keep Tipa on my podcast. But absolutely, I think that's amazing. And so, you know, that support group is located in Tampa. And so what I'm going to do is I am going to take a moment as well and provide you with the contact information for Cheryl Ann. Her platform is Sandy's Daughter. Sandy's Daughter. So if you go on Facebook, she can be found there at Sandy's Daughter. Email is sandysdaughter@outlook.com. That's SandysDaughter. And she can also be reached via phone at 941-626-7447. So reach out if you're in the Tampa area and you're looking for caregiver support. Now, is this specific for dementia or all caregivers?
I think at this point in time, it's dementia specific, but okay. I think if you're a struggling caregiver and you wanted to come check out our support group, you could join us and see if it's a fit for you or not.
There it is. And so one of the most important things you can do is to surround yourself with people who can understand and relate to where you are. This journey is not a journey that you want to be on alone. It's already one that can be very lonely. And sometimes you do feel like you're in this thing by yourself. But one of the most important things you can do is surround yourself with people that are like-minded, people that can relate to where you are. As you said a few moments ago, nobody's journey is the same. I often say that we are on the same journey, but we may be on different roads, mm-hmm. you know? And so, but at the end of the day, the journey is the same. And you want to be around people who can help support you, people who can help encourage you, help inspire you. That's what this podcast is all about, being able to allow people to know that you're not in this thing alone. There are other people out there who are on this journey, who are facing it, but they're doing it well and they are rolling with the punches. And so I certainly, everything that you're doing down there, I am following from afar. I don't, you know, always get on as much. Some stuff I post in advance, and as life would have it, you know, life changes, doing a little bit more because I am now, I'm still, my daughter still comes over. Thank God. She's still here in Tallahassee. She still comes over to help me when she can, but I'm in this thing now. It's just me. It's just me and my mom now. And so there's some adjustments that we definitely have to make. Now, let me ask this question too, because one of the things that I did realize, and I do realize, and I love even when you're talking about it, you have no problem saying it. One of the things that I found to be important to you as well as to me is your faith in God. That is the one thing that seems to also carry you through. There's another post that you made on October 11th, and it says, someone told me not to grow weary today. I'm pretty sure I laughed out loud before proclaiming, too late for that. I'm trying not to faint. I looked up some weary verses and thought I would share. And so you put those verses on, and then you end that by saying, faint not, my friends. And so how important is it for you to be able to lean on your faith in these moments?
I think that person in that post was actually my pastor. And so we are bringing a support group to church. And so I have to infiltrate what I've been doing specifically with my faith. So it's an exciting time for me. And at first I was a little bit overwhelmed with that, but then I was like, that's what I do every day.
Yeah.
I commented earlier on, I think, to my pastor at the beginning of this, honoring my mother and father was a lot easier. Like, I thought it was hard when that meant not talking back, you know, to them as a 5-year-old. Honoring my mother now, this is my journey of honoring my mom. And so I have to make sure that I'm at church on Sundays if I can be there. If I'm not there, I'm watching it online and praying all the time and finding other people that can pray for me. LinkedIn always is asking me if I'm hiring. And I was thinking the other day, what I need to do is say, yes, I'm hiring intercessors to keep praying for me. Because also when I'm doing these support groups, I hear everybody's stories and I share and I pour into them. And I noticed to have somebody pour into me, but I also have to make sure, because I don't necessarily have the opportunity to go out and sit down at Starbucks and have a slow cup of coffee with somebody pouring into me. I have to make sure that I'm pouring into myself and spending my time in God's word. My mom used to go to church all the time. And for some reason, and this is a key thing, I can't really take her to church. I took her to Good Friday service because it was like noontime. And she loves my pastor. And we sat in the second row and she kept going like this. And I was like, oh gosh, she's going to call out to him in the middle of service. And he's gracious enough that he's going to be like, hi, Miss Sandy, I'll talk to you in just a few minutes, you know, which she didn't do it. But after service, I stood up and I turned around and she was gone. And there she was. She made herself over, no wheelchair, no walker to talk to him. But I've just really added in the past couple months praying with her before I go. Okay. And so I'll pray with her in the facility before I go. Usually I was there at night, but now I've moved it. Even if we're at the dining room table, we'll pray for the staff that's working, because all those caregivers, if they're not family caregivers, those caregivers, they need prayer too.
That's right.
And I've also learned that a lot of them are family caregivers. So when they're not in the facility, they're caring for somebody at home. So we'll pray for all of them. And then so my mom will just sit there. And then once I start the Our Father, she picks it right up. She remembers that and she'll just pray right along with me. And then she'll just look at me and say, thank you so much. Thank you so much for doing that. I feel better. So including that faith journey with my mom is key too.
Yes. And isn't that wonderful that, you know, they lose a lot when it comes to the memory. But to be able to watch and to see how, you know, the enemy may touch the mind, but he can't do anything at all with the spirit, with the soul. My mom, I can put on music and she will get to clapping her hands and all of that. And she still remembers God. And it's still a beautiful thing to see when you consider that so much else they have, you know, lost as far as memory and recognition. One of the quotes that I saw on your Facebook page, and I love it. It says, one day you will look back on this season and know that you are truly blessed. And not because things were perfect, but because you found perfect grace in the worst of it. And I think that is exactly what, you know, sums all of this up. You know, we are on this journey, and, you know, to take this journey and to allow God to take what's bad and to find purpose in it, I think that is probably the greatest thing that can be done. To be able to sit back and say, okay, God, I'm here now. How do you want to use me? Or how can you use me to, you know, show forth your glory? To be able to allow people to see you, even in this situation. I think that has been so fulfilling for me, because for me, it is ministry. It is, I look at it as serving. And so to me, the greatest example is God himself. And so I want to be able to serve my mom in that same way, with the same level of grace. And to be able to give it. And that's what you learn on this type of journey with Alzheimer's, that not only has God given you grace for this journey, but you learn as well that you have to give them that same grace, because there are things that happen. I think we were talking the other day via text, and you were saying how, you know, everything was great with her, with you laying, her laying her head in your lap, until she thought that, you know, something else was going on and you had to quickly leave.
Right. Right. Like, yeah, all of a sudden she didn't like me and I had to go. You just need to go. And part of me wanted to stay and make her okay with me being there. And then the other part of me said, I've been here for a few hours with her. We've spent the day together. Like, she's probably tired of me.
Yeah. Hey.
You know, and it's hard to say. It's hard to say who needs more grace in this journey. Is it her or is it me?
Yeah.
Or is it the other caregivers involved? We all need some grace.
Exactly. And so that is my prayer continually. Like, God, give me more grace. Give her more grace. Because, you know, if not, the thing that we don't want to do is faint. We don't want to faint and get weary in well-doing, because it's easy. It's draining. I will say sometimes it can be extremely draining. My mom, I don't think she slept at all last night. She was up pretty much all night long. And so there are those moments. But at the end of the day, when you remember the greater reason as to why you're doing what you're doing, and you learn how to roll with the punches, that makes it all worth it. And before we close out, I'm going to ask you, because this is a question that I'm giving to everybody that's going to be coming on. When we consider that this is National Family Caregivers Appreciation Month, one of the things that I want to know is, from you as a caregiver, what are some ways that others can celebrate and appreciate not just you, but anybody that's caregiving on this caregiver journey? When you think about the needs that you may have or may have had, what are some ways that you feel caregivers can be celebrated?
I think just acknowledging us and understanding us. Sometimes people will ask me to do something, and I'll say, no, I can't do that because I have plans with my mom, or, you know, and respecting that. But also when I say yes, understanding that yes might be a maybe, you know, and giving us the opportunity to get off the hook gracefully.
Yeah.
Also, I've had some friends just, you know, say, so I noticed that you go to Starbucks a lot with your mom, so I bought you a gift card. You know, but I think really what I miss the most is community with my friends. And it's really kind of hard to get. But when I can get it, I love that more than anything. And so that means coming over to my home and accepting that it's not in perfect order, because although I'm not working, I'm working.
Yeah,
I'm working. And so house cleaning was never a strong suit of mine. But just accepting me where I'm at.
Okay. And oddly enough, the person that was on last episode mirrored almost the same thing that you're saying, which is just accepting the fact that things are not the same. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not. And so these are the things, and I ask this question because there may be those that are listening who are wondering, how can I appreciate, how can I celebrate those persons that are caregivers? Or maybe you weren't thinking about it at all, but coming from a caregiver, being able to say, because we have, you know, we're on the fourth day, there's 30 days in November. So you still have some time. If you haven't, even if you haven't thought about it, think about tangible ways that you can actually appreciate those persons that you know are caregivers. It doesn't always mean that you have to spend money. Sometimes it's just simply taking time. Sometimes it's simply sending a text message. I received a text message earlier this week that literally made my day, just by somebody just saying, hey, I was thinking about you. I'm praying for you. How can I help you? Even that, those things, they might seem minute, but they mean a lot to somebody who is on this journey. I say a lot that caregiving is a lonely place. I believe that caregiving has to be the loneliest place I've ever been in my life. I don't know if you can relate to that, but it is. You know, I'm like you. You do, as you stated, you miss that community. You miss being able to go out and do certain things. I mean, I was one who was involved in just about everything. I was always, you know, if something, I'm very much into church and ministry and the different things that we did. And so you find yourself not in that place where you can go as freely. You have to, what you do is always now based on other people, and other people's agendas and their priorities are not like yours. You know, I had a family member, I'm not going to say who, but I had a family member recently that came over to relieve me so that I could go to church. And I specifically asked for them to be here by 10:30 because service starts at 11. I like to be on time to church when I can be on time to church. And yeah, they didn't leave their house until 10:30. And then on top of leaving their house at 10:30, they also said, oh, I got to stop and get food. Well, by the time you do all of that, it's after 11 o'clock. So they didn't get here till like 11:15. And then I have a 15-minute ride. So I'm 30 minutes late. And so it's like, geez, you know, can you just make it a priority for you to just simply be on time? Being on time is something very, we hold that dear as caregivers, right? Because we want to be on time to do the things that we want to do. And so these are just things that you can think about when, you know, think about if you haven't already, you want to know. And then I saw on your page as well, and then we're going to go, but even with your Tipa Snow Train and the card that you had where you're saying, if somebody asks you, how can I help? You have a card that you can just pull a list off.
Yeah, I have a note written on my iPhone.
Okay.
So I wrote a note of what people could do to help me. And so it's like big and small. You know, one of them is just come sit in my house and have a cup of coffee with me. Sit in my messy house, let me slide everything away and just sit. And I think part of the problem that happens sooner was, before this, I was the organizer. I was the take control person. I was, hey, we're going to do this on Saturday at 10 o'clock. Do you want to come? Like, I'll order the tickets for us. And when that part left, like, it was kind of like, oh, she doesn't do those things anymore. Well, I do them, but I don't necessarily plan them.
Yeah. You don't have time.
Right.
And I think the last thing I will add in this is, you know, I don't know if you feel it, but, you know, sometimes you still want to be included, even though you may not be able to make it, still include me. Don't feel like, right, oh, well, she can't go or she has, because that right there pushes you further into a lonely place, because you're not even being considered for stuff that prior to, you know, you becoming a caregiver, you were always considered. But then, you know, people stop. They stop asking. But my thing is, give me the opportunity to say, no, I can't make it, or no, I can't do it. You know, yes. So this has been great. I have definitely enjoyed my time talking with
me
you.
Too.
It will not be the last time. We'll have you back on. And you actually gave me another idea, something that I've been, you know, thinking about doing for a while. I'll get with you offline about it. But I think, you know, it's something that maybe the two of us can spearhead and be helpful even the more to caregivers. And so thank you so much, Sherilyn, for taking the time today to sit down and talk with me regarding your journey. I celebrate you. I do. I see the work that you're doing. I see it. I'm afar. I'm looking afar, but I see what you're doing. I see the impact that you're making and the sacrifice that you're making for your mom. And so during this here National Family Caregivers Appreciation Month, I take the opportunity now to salute you and to appreciate and honor you just for being who you are, for being an amazing daughter and an even more amazing caregiver. Thank you so much for, again, being a guest on the My Favorite Girl Caregivers Corner podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you again for listening to this episode of the My Favorite Girl Caregivers Corner podcast. I'd also like to invite you to visit my website at www.priscillajeanlouis.com. There you'll find more information about me and my journey with My Favorite Girl. There's also the resource spot where you'll find many resources to help you as you are on your journey. Hey, stay connected. And remember, no matter what, keep going, keep pushing, keep loving, and by all means, keep caring.